Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi. Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
WILO weather for all of North Central Indiana. We're looking at a cloudy Saturday today with a high of 67, but those clouds will clear right up overnight for clear skies and a low of 47. Tomorrow will live up to its sunny Sunday name with sunny skies and a high of 74 for Mother's Day. Chances of showers and thunderstorms all day Monday with a high of 75. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Hey, good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Inside the Huddle, Jamie Blacker, Don Stock here with you this morning on this bright, sunny Saturday, crisp morning. And Jamie, I'm thinking that we're going to need to get the boats out soon if it doesn't quit raining as much as it's raining.
Yeah, well, another week of struggles for high school sports in Clinton County, that's for sure.
Boy, the forecast isn't any better starting a week off next week. And softball sectionals are going to be coming in soon, and that's got to be a challenge. And also coming soon will be the Hoosier Heartland Baseball Conference meeting.
Yeah, that's probably coming up this week.
Yeah,
I really haven't looked at the schedules, but it's winding down quickly, and we're a couple weeks away from graduation for these kids. So, and every Saturday morning it's nice. So everybody and their brother is off on the road this morning, headed somewhere. So we've got a show put together. We're going to talk just us here this morning. We'll bring our board guy in here, Chops, and we'll talk about some things. And then at 9:15, Landon Southern, former Gopher, who's playing at Anderson University. I believe that's where he's still at. And we'll talk about his spring season and then what his summer plans are. 9:30, Jessica Cox. I've tried for 3 weeks to get her on, finally could. She's the tennis coach for the Rossville Hornets. And then Adam Adrian. He's the president, and he is the director of softball and baseball for Hornet Youth.
Yeah, so, I tried to get him on last week, and he was busy.
Well,
he was real busy,
yeah,
because it was the start of their season,
opening day, and it was a beautiful day, and a lot going on. But, hey, let's talk a little bit about the Pacers. I watched the game last night. I'll be full disclosure, I haven't been an NBA fan for a while.
Yeah, me neither.
My first game was game one of the Knicks.
Yeah, me too.
And I watched all three.
Me too.
And I'm like, why haven't I been watching these Pacers? They're pretty good.
Yeah. You know, after game two, I texted my daughter Noelle and I said, why do I watch NBA? All it does is make me so frustrated. I mean, they travel, they beat and bang each other, and then if you look cross-eyed at somebody, you get a little foul for that, and it's pretty crazy. Now, Chops, you kind of follow the Pacers a little bit more than the rest of us, last night, man, I thought they were getting ready to get it handed to them again.
Yeah, they just finally pulled one out in the fourth quarter. They couldn't do that in New York. You know, they just couldn't finish, and the first two games, New York got every rebound there ever was in the fourth quarter and just finished off the Pacers. But last night, the Pacers got it done when they needed to. Huge block going down the stretch and then a monster three-pointer. And, heck, I can't even pronounce all these guys' names. Chop's going to have to do that.
Yeah, Pacers, they needed a must-win last night. After the first two games, things not going very well, is what I meant to say there. Referees kind of not calling it both ways, especially there in New York. Definitely felt the home field advantage. Some guys definitely had to come through last night. Siakam going 25-plus. Siakam. And then Tyrese, too, doing his thing with, while still being hurt, going for 25-plus as well. So they needed that win. Pacers got it done. They're at home, back at it tomorrow at 3:30.
Well, you know, Tyrese Halliburton, right, he's got a bad back, and I don't see how he gets up and down the floor, because if you notice, when he's not playing, he's got that brace on his back sitting over on the sideline. And then last night when he was going for a layup trying to out-juke the defender, he rolled his ankle. I didn't think he was going to get through the ball game, but played very, very well, very hard. But really, have you ever seen a bunch of grown men on a timeout circle up around the officials and constantly gripe about, I'm being fouled? Well, it's like football. you're being held every play. You're going to get fouled. You got the basketball. Yeah.
Well, they were getting the calls in New York, you know, and the Pacers coach had to go on board and turn 78 calls in to the NBA, and he got fined, what, $35,000 this week for speaking out against it. But his point is small market versus large market teams, and I think there's some truth to it.
I totally
it's all about money.
I mean, listen, in the next round, does the NBA want Boston and the Knicks, or do they want Boston and the Pacers?
And what little I've watched the Pacers, and then the other night I stayed in and watched the Timberwolves versus Denver after that, and I would never watch those two teams ever again because I thought that was just god-awful basketball. But the Pacers are fun to watch. I mean, bottom line, fun to watch. They move the ball like nobody I've ever seen before. They're all on tune. They played 9 or 10 guys. I mean, it's just fun to watch. It's just the NBA will get me back if they're playing that kind of basketball.
Well, you know, in game two, there was about 5 minutes the Pacers played. I think it was about quarter two, and it was all of their bench guys. And you would have never known that they were all bench guys because, man, they were moving the ball. They were scoring a lot of baskets. It was pretty incredible. I think the Pacers have got to have one of the best NBA benches around. What do you think, Chops?
Hey, Chops, we may have a call in here. I just put a text out to somebody who really knows the Pacers, Jason Forsythe.
Oh.
I just texted him. He responded. He said he'll call in. He was at the game last night with his son, Garrick. So I think that's him. Getting in here, we'll get Chops on let's get some expert, you know, local tie
that's
in
a,
here.
That's a good point. I know that Jason went to game. Yeah, he went.
He went last night.
He went to the game 5 or 6 of the first round.
Yeah, yep. He's definitely been to multiple Pacer games this year. I know that. So he's more of an expert than what we are. So we'll get him on here on the line, but get his take on it. Of course, he's a good basketball guy anyway, and you know. Used to be the voice of the Gophers.
I was getting ready to say, the public address announcer, Mr. Jason Forsythe. What's on, brother?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Man, way to get in and save our fannies.
We had 15 minutes, and we started talking about the Pacers, and then I'm thinking, man, I saw Jason and Garrick post a picture last night on Twitter, and let's get somebody that knows what's going on here. But, man, the Pacers got it done last night.
Yeah, that was great. What a bowl game. To be honest with you, it didn't look too good there early on or late, even late. And, you know, that team is just so much fun to watch. It's a little different than what you used to see back in the 90s and everything. You know, you can't be tough. You can't be physical as you used to be. And to really see those guys come back last night and hang in there and, you know, the offensive rebounding late in the game was huge for the Pacers. They were just getting after every single loose ball and giving us second chances, and yeah, it was a fun game to watch for sure.
So the block by Miles Turner, I think that's right, was,
yes, sir.
How high can the guy, you know, that was unbelievable, the height he got.
Yeah, not just and just the fact that he ran the guy down. I mean, you're a center, 7 foot center running the guard down. Well, obviously that happens a lot in the NBA because everybody's so talented, but yeah, it kind of reminded you of that Roy Hibbert block, except for a little different aspect as to where the rim was at and things like that, but to run him down and make that play was huge and couldn't happen to a nicer guy in Hart anyway. So,
Jason, I said here a minute ago, I haven't watched the Pacers except here in this Knicks playoff. I just haven't paid too much attention to him here and there. Maybe last Christmas before in that little preseason tournament, I watched a little bit, but not a lot. Right. But man, this team, like you said, is fun to watch. But the development of Miles Turner, I mean, from the time he got here till now, I mean, he's really improved his game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny, Jamie, because I told Garrick they needed to trade him a long time ago. And he's been one of Garrick's favorite players the entire time, and he's stuck with him. And it's like, man, he's soft. He's not getting the job done. We need to get somebody in there tougher, but he is it definitely this year and even last year, you know, to be able to step out and make a three, and he's a great free throw shooter. You can tell he's worked on his game, and he's become the face of the Pacers, you know, coming out of Texas and things like that. He was you know, nobody knew how well he would be. And he plays the center position a little bit different, but almost kind of like it's played today. You know, you don't see a lot of back-to-basket centers anymore like Ewing and Rick Smits was and things like that back in the day. He's a more step-out, jump shooter, even mid-range, like I said, free throw shooter, and can play defense like no other. I mean, he just gets off the floor quick and just impressive to watch. But, you know, there's just so much talent and things like that in the game today that, we had a Michael Jordan back in the day, and now you have, not everybody's like Michael Jordan, obviously, but you just have so much talent, so much athletic ability in the game today. It's crazy, and even at the center position.
They can all get to the rim, and a lot of them can shoot that three ball.
That's for sure.
Well, one thing I think it separates the Pacers from everybody else is their bench. Man, they go so deep, and that McConnell gnat was putting it up against Brunson the other night, and I thought he played like he wasn't feeling very well last night, but, you know, their bench is so good.
Yeah, they are definitely deep, Don. Deeper than the Bucks, deeper than the Knicks are, and, you know, McConnell last night, I'd agree with you, but he still got his shots. He just didn't fall last night. And, for him to come in and be able to be a pest after Neesmith on Brunson, I thought Aaron Neesmith did an amazing job last night on Brunson. He made every shot difficult. Brunson's going to he's going to score his points, but Neesmith made it difficult on him. And like I said, like you said, McConnell comes in and just does everything we need. I thought he should have played more in game two at the end of the game.
He did, him and
Toppin. But last night, and I love to see the Halliburton's handling of the ball more than and scoring, has an idea to score more than he did in game one and two. We have to have him score. And last night he had 35, but still had 7 or 8 assists. So he's still getting his assists and things like that. But McConnell definitely brings a different type of game to the Pacers. And like you said, Don, that bench is deep, and they've been performing.
Well, is it Namath? That's Namath. He wouldn't take the winning shot. So when he let that ball go, how many people went, "Oh my"? Because I did. I'm like, there's a desperation, nothing but nylon.
Well, Nembhard is who that is. I mean, he's a good defender too. You can see it drops a little bit when he's on Brunson. He's not as good as McConnell or Neesmith, I think that might have been his first bucket of the night. He may have had 2 points before that.
I think
you're
right.
For 6 or 7.
Well, didn't the Pacers change up last night on a different defender on Brunson, the point guard for the Knicks?
Yeah, they had they started out Neesmith on him, and then he went to I think McConnell was on him a little bit.
23, I can't think his name, but he was battling Neesmith, late in the game.
Neesmith.
I think that made a big difference because he just couldn't get off the shots he normally gets. He couldn't get to the rim.
I'm thinking in game two, too, as well, that Neesmith got into a little foul trouble. Like he had like 3, maybe even in the early in the second quarter, Jamie, and that didn't help us. And last night he stayed out of foul trouble. There was a different intensity on defense for us, too, last night than I thought in game two. But Neesmith really was in Brunson's pocket the entire time.
What's your thoughts on Siakam?
Last night he was better. He'd been a 78% free throw shooter in the season. He's been shooting 40% from the line. And he goes to the line a lot. So that's been hurting us a little bit. And last night I think maybe he missed maybe 1-2 free throws during the game. I don't think very many free throws were taken by either team last night. I think you've seen a much more physical game and the refs put the whistles in their pockets a little bit more last night.
Maybe the message coach gave the NBA maybe got through to somebody, huh?
Yeah, I think the message, I'm thinking he got the message with a $35,000 fine,
he's pretty quiet last night.
but I thought we really played, I think when, at the end of the game, things just change a little bit, and, I hope we carry that over into game 4 tomorrow, because they are extremely fun to watch, and if they can get on a roll, they can do a lot of damage.
Are you going to game four?
I'd like to go to game four, but I'm not sure. It's probably $35,000 a ticket, Jamie, probably.
Well, you were there last night, though, right?
No, I was. That was actually a picture I threw on there. We went to game three of the Bucks series.
Okay, I see.
And, yeah, him and I and John and Brody Kirby went and just had a ball. I mean, we set up in the second level there, and which is a lot of fun, actually. It's great being down close to the court, but we sit in what they call the club level, I guess, I think. But, yeah, that was the atmosphere at games like that is just incredible.
The Pacer fans bring it, don't they?
They do. They do.
So before you go, I got to ask this question, and that is when they go to a TV timeout, as they go to the TV timeout, all the officials seem to get circled around by all the Knick players screaming and hollering. Is that that's pretty true. I mean, they just constantly cry about fouls.
Yeah. I think that's become an issue throughout the league, which is, game two where they called that, they called that illegal screen on Miles Turner. That Hartenstein guy does it every single time down the floor for New York. I mean, you got to get rid of that part of the game, in my opinion.
You think that breeds from AAU? Because all that, starts there where they take their ball and go home if they don't get their way a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, I mean, you see it in, you see on Twitter and things like that, social media, coaches, fighting referees in the middle of the game. I mean, yeah. Things have changed so much since, we were kids and playing, whether it was, I played a lot of travel baseball or what you call travel baseball back in the day. And I was one of the guys that kind of started travel baseball here in town and with Rodney Smith and Nick Isgrig and several other people. And it's just, it's almost ruined youth sports to me a little bit. I mean, it gives an opportunity for kids to play more games and things like that and play against better competition, but there's so much more expected of them as a player, and then it becomes a little crazy when it comes to coaches versus referees, and like you said, Jamie, it's probably called a lot different because of that, and right. It's just kind of been that way that we expect a certain thing to happen once we get into the NBA, and even in the college game it's changed. I enjoy watching this team play, and I'm watching right now, I'm watching Winning Time with Reggie Miller on Netflix right now, back in the day when it was Knicks and Pacers and Spike Lee and things like that. But that's a fun one. If you guys haven't seen that 30 for 30, that Winning Time, it's pretty fun stuff talking about the Knicks.
Hey, Don,
especially right now.
I always pull out a good, a good show, and I pulled that one out the last minute because that was excellent commentary about the Pacers.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Well, Jason, we appreciate you coming in and calling. I appreciate that a lot.
No problem, guys. Have a good day and enjoy your weekend.
Yep, thank you. Go Pacers.
Yes, sir.
All right, we want to thank our sponsors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farms, Inc., Healthy Communities of Clinton County. On the line, Jessica Cox. It's Landon Southern on the line. We'll be talking to him soon about Anderson baseball. See you in a minute.
If you need help with getting health coverage, quitting smoking or vaping, resources for a healthy pregnancy, testing for pregnancy or sexually transmitted infections, or getting treatment for mental health or addiction, just call Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063. That's Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063. Healthy Communities of Clinton County, where they help make the healthy choice the easy choice.
Attention, all gardeners and landscapers. Are you ready to take your outdoor projects to the next level? Barrett Farms is here to help. From rich black to dark brown mulch, Barrett Farms has the mulch you need to make your landscape pop. Call for an appointment now for convenient pickup or delivery. Barrett Farms is also your go-to source for drainage solutions, including top-of-the-line tile and fittings and durable straw blankets. Call Barrett Farms today, 765-654-8347.
Hey, welcome back. Inside the Huddle, Jamie Blacker, Don Stock. Quarter two coming up, sponsored by Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farms, Inc., and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. And I believe we have Mr. Landon Southern on the phone. Landon, are you on?
Hey, I'm here.
Man, thanks for calling in on a Saturday morning. You could be knocking off some Z's.
Yes, sir. We just woke up, had some breakfast, and getting ready for the day. So.
Landon, you still over at Anderson?
No, we are currently over at Kokomo right now in our HDAC tournament.
But you're still playing for Anderson, though? That's what I want to get right here.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, sure am.
So talk a little bit about your season. How's it going right now?
It's going pretty well. I had a pretty good regular season. We started off pretty slow over down in Florida for the first half of the summer, or the spring, sorry. And, so we started off really slow. Like I said, we got into conference play and really turned it up. And we made the conference, the tournament, the 5 seed. And, we're down here playing right now and hopefully to try to pull off a victory today and make a comeback in the tournament and hopefully win it all.
Now, Landon, I'm guessing that you guys, as in college level, don't have the challenges that the high schools have because of non-turf. You basically play on a lot of turf fields.
Oh yeah, for sure. We actually just got turf this past summer, so it was. We got a lot of donor money coming in, and we got the fortune to build the turf infield and bullpen mounds, turf mound, and everything else. So
I want to talk about, you said, we start the season off by going to Florida. So when you go to Florida and you're down there, you're just not down there for one or two games. You're down there for a bunch, right?
Yeah, it's about 6, 7, 8 maybe games down there. And, I mean, it's good competition from, New York, New Jersey, Wisconsin. I mean, it's basically every D3 team from around the nation basically coming down to Florida and playing in a little round-robin tournament down there.
When did you start that, late February, early March? Is that when you go down there?
I think it was spring break, so I want to say early March.
Okay.
Usually when we go down there.
So are you still on the mound for Anderson?
Yep, sure am.
How's that going for you?
Going pretty well. Right now I think I'm at around 81 strikeouts on the year. Lowered my walk rate down a little bit from last year. It's about a 4-5 ERA right now. So, there's still room for improvement for sure. But, I mean, I'm having a pretty good spring. I'd say so myself. So,
Landon, can you talk a little bit about transition from high school to college and playing a lot more baseball? But you were kind of prepared for that for playing travel.
Right, yeah. Going into my freshman year, I mean, I was expecting to even get some at-bats and stuff like that. But, I mean, going into freshman year, I mean, I was introduced as a two-way, then slowly just transitioning out of that role, going into strictly pitcher. Sophomore year came around, I got some at-bats in varsity, but they kind of took it away from me. So, I mean, I've been strictly just pitcher, and I mean, it was a tough transition for sure. So, I mean, I'm still thankful to be a pitcher for sure, but it was a little rough getting out of that two-way role and playing a lot of college ball. I mean, this is some great competition for sure. D3, D2, D1, I mean, all around the nation. So I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Starter or bullpenner?
Starter, yep. I'm a starter.
So the last thing, you know, you talked about, or Jamie just asked about, you know, playing travel league. And we have a lot of conversations, Jamie and I do, about the travel leagues and kids playing in them. Sometimes we feel like it's probably not the better thing to be doing anymore because of all the things that kind of go on. What's your viewpoint on the ability to travel as a youth or a high school player?
Honestly, I really like the travel leagues. I mean, I feel like for me, it really got my name out there, especially in front of the colleges. Like, for example, I went to Butler and pitched down at Butler University, and these little tournaments like that, I mean, you get a pitch in front of these college coaches that are already there, and I mean, get the word out to other college coaches to come down and say, hey, like, this kid's pitching this and that. And I feel like I think it's personally a pretty good little thing to get your name out there for sure. So but I mean, the college world is totally different from high school, like I said. So usually these kids just kind of got to go down there and, I mean, prepare for anything, really. So.
So does baseball, and Jamie, you can try to help me out with this, make sure I get this question proper. In basketball, you know, there's a lot of kids that move around because of the payments and all
the NIL money in college.
Is that also in baseball?
Yes, yeah, it is. Yep, I think it just got introduced a couple years ago. So,
is it starting to trickle down to D3 on any NIL stuff?
It's pretty rare. Yeah, it's very rare, I'd say. But I don't have any money. I know some guys, even like NAIA JUCO around that area too. I mean, they're bringing in NIL deals like crazy. So. It's pretty rare for D3ers and D2s, but D1 for sure.
But is it also helping you D3 guys get a chance to go D1? That's the other part that I think even like Purdue football, they're starting to bring in a few D3 guys. You know, there's a guy was Franklin, all conference, you know, all American D3, and he's going to get to go to Purdue for his fifth year to play. Is that happening for baseball as well?
Yeah, I don't really think so, to be honest with you. I mean, I feel like football and baseball are like totally two different things when it comes to that, but I'd like to see something like that for sure here in the coming years, for sure.
Well, you know, guys develop at different rates and get hot.
Yeah,
I mean, give you a chance to, when you grow and you hit the weight room and, you know, you do different things, you know, when you're 21 and you got another year of eligibility left, I'm guessing there's some programs out there would want you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, Landon, you say you're in a tournament right now. Is it a conference tournament?
Yeah, it's the HCAC tournament down here at Kokomo at the Municipal Stadium.
Does that play you into any like postseason processes?
Yes, it does. So if we end up winning the whole tournament, we would go to our regional, which is a currently to be determined location. They want to say it's like Ohio. Rumors are Alabama, the Carolinas around there too. So it kind of ties in with plays with the regular tournament.
Are you going to pitch today, Landon?
I am not. No, I started the first game, which was a couple days ago, and then I should be set up for championship game by Sunday. So,
and then before we let you go here in a minute, I want to talk about summer. What's your summer plans? I know last year you played up in Northern Illinois or somewhere, if I remember right, or the year of summer before.
Yeah. Yep, I'll be going back up to Rockford, Illinois, playing for the Rockford Rivets in the Northwoods League, and hopefully having another standout summer. So,
do you ever get
a great time?
Get to come over to Loeb?
Great time.
Go ahead.
No, I would not. No, they're part of the Prospect League.
Okay.
Yeah, they're Prospect League. We're Northwoods. That'd be pretty cool though to go pitch up at Loeb Stadium in front of some of the home fans for sure. So.
Is that do you get paid by going over there to Rockville?
No, I do not. No, unfortunately not. But I think that's something they should implement.
How's that work for you living over there? How's that whole process work? And
so the team sets you up with the host family. You stay down there for 6 weeks or however many weeks you decide to stay down there. I got set up with Dan and. Lionel Campbell down there, and that host family system is pretty crazy to even think about. Going in last year, I mean, I didn't know what to expect, so they really welcomed me in and let me sleep in their house and let me live there and give me food and this and that stuff. So they really welcomed the door, and I mean, all the host families down there are great.
How many times does mom and dad make the trek over to Rockford to see you?
They made about... I mean, it's a far drive, so it's about 4.5-hour drive. I mean, they probably came out there 5-6 times whenever I get to pitch, so.
Well, give it your best on Sunday, and make sure you do that Gopher Pride, all right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yep. Hey, Gopher Pride, for sure.
Thanks for answering my text last night, and we just want to catch up with you and let people know where you're at, and keep in touch with me, especially next year if you move on to other things.
Oh, yes, sir. I appreciate it, for sure.
All right, we've been talking with Landon Southern, a pitcher for the Anderson College team. He's in Kokomo, so you Gopher fans, get over there. And
going to be part of the Rockford Rivets. Did you hear that? The Rivets.
Rocket Rivets.
Rockford Rivets.
Well, that makes sense. I'm into that. That's a good mascot. A rivet.
A rivet. you better give our sponsors here, because they're the ones who pay our bills.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, you're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farms, Inc., Healthy Communities of Clinton County, Jessica Cox, the Rossville Girls Tennis Coach, coming up next on Inside the Huddle.